I'm closing now, my first closing. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed?
Yeah.
I am blessed today to be here. The song says we're never alone. The song of the Lord came out and it said that I ordained your loneliness. I ordained your wilderness. And the Lord spoke to me in the shower this morning and he told me that even Adam was created first to be alone. And then at a point God said it's not good for him to be alone, but at first he had to be alone. And every one of us got to get alone sometimes and be alone. And even in a crowd of people, feel alone. Because it wasn't till Jacob was left alone, Genesis 32, that he began to wrestle with himself, with the God inside of him. He began to wrestle with the God inside of him, and God will leave you alone so that you begin to wrestle and get the blessing that's within inside of yourself. You know it's true. You don't ever pray. You pray harder when you really got a need. You start living a little more uprightly when you really got a need. You start totting your I's and crossing your T's just right, and you wouldn't dare look at this, and you wouldn't dare talk about that when you got a need. But the Bible says you should live poor and needy, so you should live your life as if to need God. When you begin to live that life, you'll have more than enough. Adam was created to be alone first, because you can't find yourself till you get alone. You can't find yourself. You're some of them people that always got to have some racket going, some noise, got the radio going. When you get up, you click on the TV while you're doing your hair, you got the radio going. You get in the car, you turn on the radio. You get to work, turn on the radio. You get home, turn on the radio, television, talk on the phone all at the same time. When you go to bed, you just... Because you're afraid of yourself. And you're afraid to be alone. You know what God does to get your attention? He puts you in prison. Am I right, Nate? And once you get in prison, in the prison of your own mind, then God starts dealing with you. One thing I noticed about, I worked at a prison for 3 years. One thing I know about that, everybody wants to seek after God. Why? They got nothing else to do except look within themselves and find him. They did nothing more than look within themselves, listen to him about them, and they found him when they got alone. Matter of fact, many of the most freest, precious men of God are found in locked in cells. The early church called them monasteries. And people willfully live their life this way so as they could find God. Yet we think we can live any old way and any old thing we want to do and still find you. God is just baiting you into a path of loneliness. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. In about 3 months' time, you're going to find yourself in obscurity and lonely. David, Samuel had a horn of oil. And God told Samuel, I'm through with this Saul. And go to Jesse's house and anoint me a king there from his sons. Jesse was called to the feast and all his sons. Yet Jesse did not bring but 7 of his sons. And Samuel went by each son and said, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him. He said, we're not going to eat until you bring all your sons here. Lo and behold, the 8th son, the number 8 means new beginning. After the 8th son came to the table, there was a new beginning in God. And he was out there. He said, I do have a younger son. out there tending to the sheep, out there in the wilderness, out there in obscurity. He was so far out there, the Father didn't even call him to the table. He was born and he lived in rejection. There's a generation that are being born in the wilderness, born out of rejection, born out of refuse, born out of no fathering, born out of, there's a generation out there, and they're going to be called to the table. His own father didn't even invite him when the prophet came, because he treated him like, you're just a little servant boy, you're young, you're just a shepherd. But God didn't see David as a shepherd. God saw him as a king. And he said, I want that shepherd, that the one who's called to a shepherd shall be anointed as a king. See, God don't make any leaders. He's not come here to make any of you a leader. He's come to make you a servant, because servants become leaders. And Jesse said, I have David out there serving the house, watching the sheep. And he was anointed to be the next king. The Bible says, in the presence of all his brethren. Hebrews says, I will praise your name amongst all the brethren. I will anoint you among all the brethren. He was raised in obscurity out there in the wilderness. And you know what, church? I realize every great man and woman of God came from obscurity. Came out of nowhere. Moses in the wilderness 40 years. Out of obscurity, God calls his people. I began to wonder why, and he says, because it's in that obscurity that I make them who they are. And that's the one place the church don't want to go. They're not willing to live their life in silence in the wilderness. They want to let everybody know what's going on, as if they're the only ones going through something. Come on now. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. You couldn't live as an early church monk, because they're not allowed to speak unless you're spoken to. You would die. You have two ears, one mouth. You're supposed to hear twice as much as you talk. But we want to involve everybody in our process, but we're not willing to get involved in their process. But truly, as if, even if you told me, what could I do for you anyway? What could I do? What could I possibly gain from this? It's in the silence of our obscurity that we get buffeted and we're dealed to look at our true self. And we alone have to answer to who we are. We have to settle those questions. And when we come out of obscurity, we come as a new man and we say, now I know who I am. Jesus shows up on the scene 30 years of age. We saw him when he was born, and we lost him for 12 years, and we don't see him till he's 12 years old sitting in the temple. And the only reason we see him is because of Bar Mitzvah. When he's 13, he becomes a man, and we get a little picture of his manhood. Yeah. And we get a snapshot of Jesus at 12, and then we never hear from him again. Till he's 30 years old, 18 years later. 18 years later, he just shows up out of nowhere and says, I am that I am. And he prepared a lifetime for 3 years of ministry. He prepared a lifetime to be the what God has called him to be. Oh, but the church is not willing to prepare. A church is willing to prepare for 2 seconds for a lifetime of ministry. The truth is, you have prepared all your life for 2 seconds of ministry. And when it's over, it's over. We're in preparation. We're in obscurity. We're in the wilderness. Why? What's going on to me? Get ready. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. We all want the validation of God. This is my beloved son. But you're not willing to go through 18 years of preparation. 18 years of the grind of just coming to church and waiting and coming to church and waiting and coming to church and waiting, being faithful to give, being faithful to serve. Just 18 years of being faithful. God ain't never anointed any able people. You can't show me nowhere he anointed any able people. They were all weak, busted, hopeless, and disgusted. He anoints those people who can't help themselves. He helps those who can't help themselves. Quit trying to show God how able you are. You're not able. You're just available. God didn't choose you because you're mighty. He didn't choose you because you didn't choose you because you read the word good. He didn't choose you because you can devour it. He gave you that ability because he chose you because you're foolish, weak, base, and despised. The FWBD club. Why people want to become preachers, it's beyond me. It's something you have to be called to and dragged into and trapped in, and there ain't no way out. If you can't answer that, then don't do it. You do yourself a disservice and the body of Christ, because those who preach the gospel must live of the gospel. It's not a little job on the side. It's something God has called you to do, and I will work. You know what? It's working in me. David comes out of obscurity. All of a sudden, after the king's anointing, everybody say king's anointing. After the king's anointing, something happens. All of a sudden, King Saul has an evil spirit, and all of a sudden, listen to me, all of a sudden, the young men say, I know a young man that can play and make you better. They knew David 18 years ago.
Yes, come on now.
But the time wasn't right because he hadn't received the king's anointing yet. Most of us are not waiting for that king's anointing. It comes after a lifetime of preparation. See, David didn't set out to be a king. He had no vision, no ambition of becoming king. It hadn't even entered his mind. He knew all he was a servant to his father's house. I'm a shepherd, and I'm here to just love and serve God, and I'm just loving God. I have no ambition of being a king. Yeah, we got people in the kingdom wanting to be kings, but they need to learn how to want to be servants. God makes servants into kings. Amen. When he's anointed king, Saul brings him in. Saul, he lets him play. He's well. He's departed. Well, he should be, because the Spirit of God is upon him and not on Saul. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forth, which means as it increases. You don't get it all in one shot. It has to come upon you, increases, and it decreased on Saul, which means Saul's kingdom's coming down. Because there's a David generation out there born in rejection, born in obscurity, born in just being faithful to be a servant over the sheep. And the anointing is increasing on that generation outside of the system. Saul brought, there was a war. I'm just going to abbreviate this for you for time, but there was a war. The Bible says the children of Israel were in battle array, and there was a great valley, and the Philistines were in battle array. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the Philistine Goliath, the great giant, would come and defile the armies of the living God. Whosoever is one of you, send somebody down here to kill me. If you kill me, we'll serve you. If I kill them, you're our slaves. The Bible says they were armed and dangerous. But I prophesy to you today, the church is armed, but they're not dangerous. They're sitting in their little place, and the world is sitting over here, and ain't nobody wants to get down and really fight, because we're just playing war. Armed with battle array, but no one's fighting. Armed in battle array, but nothing's changing. Armed in battle array, but nothing's being changed. Come on now. Everything still exists. They put up a new pornography shop every day. They put liquor stores up every day. They have abortion just says keep escalating. They haven't changed anything. Even though you're armed, you're not dangerous. Do you know why? Because God's not going to save us with the old armor of Saul. You cannot kill the Goliath of today with yesterday's weapons of war. Listen to me, I'm prophesying. You cannot kill your Goliath of today with the weapons from Saul from yesterday. What used to work 20 years ago, it ain't gonna work today. Used to, you would go to a pornography shop and pour all over it, lay hands on it, speak to it, the thing would burn up, things would happen. You had this marvelous power, but I'm telling you, prophesying today, it ain't gonna happen anymore. Because you're just using the weapons of yesterday. You're not even sharp enough to keep getting the technology from God of what he wants. I'll tell you what he wants. He wants to find servants that are born in obscurity that he can anoint as kings who will not change their weapons just because Saul wants them to. So David went to check out the battle and give some more food to his brothers, and his brothers mocked him. His brothers hated him. His brothers treated him like, you know what? What are you doing here? You just want to see the battle. You're just nosy. You just no good. But David had something they didn't have. He had the king's anointing. But he had something else that no one else had in his family. That was experience. Experience is your best weapon. If you can't go through your past and get life experiences, lessons to live on for today, then you truly are a miserable person. If you keep making the same mistakes you made yesterday, you didn't learn anything. It's not the trial you're going through, it's that you don't make the same mistakes that you made, that you learned the lesson that he intended for you to get. You didn't lose anything in your past. Can I help you here? You didn't lose anything, but if you lose the lesson, you've lost everything. And David had experience. And when he saw Goliath, his heart didn't pound for fear because he didn't know no better. He wasn't trying to prove none. He wasn't trying to win nobody. He wasn't trying to get a name and a plaque and a shingle and a business card and a ministry. He wasn't trying to get anything. He was just trying to defend the name of the Lord. Is it not a cause? See, the reason Saul couldn't do it, he had too much to lose. David had nothing to lose. God's going to raise up voices just like the one you're hearing today all over this nation. They got nothing to lose. The church is crippled. The church is in bondage. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is facing Goliath and can't kill it and don't know how. And Goliath is defying them every day. I dare you to live for God. I dare you to change. I dare you to come out of those four walls of that church and do something about this. I dare you to come out here in this community. And do something for God. I dare you. I'll kill you. I'll take your head off. Because I'm Goliath and I'm a giant. See, the word 40 means a generation. But at the end of a generational cycle, on the 41st day, God does a new thing. See, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But on the 41st day, started a new thing. See, Moses went up the mountain for 40 days, but on the 41st day, God came down and did a new thing. See, it's Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days, but on the 41st day, he came out as a new man. David saw this 40 days and 40 nights, and so David, the eighth son, new beginning, comes into the 41st day. With the king's anointing and with another thing, I promise I'm closing. This is so important for us. Do not sit here and think you're going to destroy Goliath if you've never killed the lion and the bear. The 30-fold lion, 60-fold bear, the 100-fold giant. That's the reason no one could come. Matter of fact, it pre-qualified him as the one to kill this 100-fold giant. He said, "Thy servant..." He said, "You're just a youth, but he's a man of war from his youth. He'll chew you up and spit you out." And David said, "Wait a minute. I was keeping my father's sheep, and a lion came. And the lion came and grabbed the sheep, and I grabbed the lion, and he let go of the sheep. And when he grabbed me, I killed him. I grabbed him by the beard and slew him, and the bear also. And the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he shall deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." He had experience. He had experience. Not just anointing alone, but experience. And he was qualified. So Saul put his armor on him and he tried it on, but he put it off. He said, I cannot go in your old weapons of war. There's a generation coming that will not put on the church's religion. There's a generation coming that will not step into Saul's house and say, I'll fight this battle with your weapons of war. There's a generation coming saying, I love you, Saul, but I can't wear what you've been wearing. Let me do my thing, and I'm going to go to the river and grab out 5 smooth stones. Let me kill him the way I know how. The church bringing people in, say, well, you got to do this, you got to pray this, you got to read Psalms, read Proverbs, you got to quote the this and that, and you got to do this, you got to do that, and then you're ready, and you're so weighted down, you can't even move. There's a generation that are going to put off Saul, put off his weapons of war, put them off. And that generation Saul's going to hate and chase, but let me tell you what that generation did. It saved the whole country. There's a generation being preserved. They're hidden in bars and clubs, crack houses and jail cells. This God has scattered them all throughout the country. They're hidden prophets, hidden, being born in obscurity, being left alone on purpose so they could find his purpose. And they're going to come out of these places, out of these cracks, out of the cracks, and they're going to come into the crevices and come to the battle, and they're going to stand up for the church and do what the church has never been able to do. The lion roars, the bear sleeps. To pre-qualify you for a giant killing anointing is you must kill the lion in your life and the bear. While you're being a servant, he killed the lion and there was no crowds there to cheer him. He killed that bear and not even his own brothers even gave him a little of that a boy. And he had to learn how to fight the fight of God without the recognition of men, without the pat on the back. He had to learn to serve God without anybody watching. I fear that we don't want to do anything unless we got everybody watching us, listening to us, patting us on the back all the way along. He killed that lion. There was nobody out there. What's the lion? It's the dominant things in your life. The pressing things. The attacking things. The roaring things. It's the roaring part of your flesh that's roaring against you. You got to kill it in the silence of being out there all alone. You kill that lion of the roaring lion in your life in the obscurity of your silence. Without any recognition, no cheering section, nobody cheering you on. You just kill that lion because it's right. Yeah. The bear is the one who sleeps. See, once you kill the thing that's dominant in your life, you don't realize it, but there's a bear present in your life, something sleeping or lying dormant in your life. See, it's like once you kill the dominant